this is your Polycast for Tuesday, February 24th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the Mall of America shows off its security measures and a slight hitch in that pay raise deal. There are more guards and police officers patrolling at the Mall of America in response to a video released over the weekend that mentioned the mall as a potential terrorism target. U.S. officials say there is no credible threat against the mall, but officials say they've increased other security measures visitors will not see. The mall has long had terrorism security measures in place, but has also tried to maintain an open environment. Peter Cox has more.
News of the video drew a crowd of local and national media to Bloomington yesterday.
I had the interview first, and then she got in. I'm sorry.
They jockeyed for interviews as Mall of America officials gave a rare tour of the mall's security center. In part of the center, staff used punching bags to show how they might engage in hand-to-hand combat against intruders. Bloomington Police Chief Jeff Potts says the mall was safe before, and it's safer now.
We've implemented some enhancements in light of the video that came out on Saturday. We have added some extra personnel, but there's a number of things. Some things that the public might see, other things that they won't. We won't get into the specifics on that.
In the more than hour-long video, a mass speaker talks about the Westgate Mall attacks in Kenya. Near the end, he briefly mentions possible targets for future attacks, including the Mall of America. The mall gets around 42 million visitors per year. Typically, mall security employs around 100 full-time and 50 part-time staff. They have 5 bomb-sniffing dogs and a system of hundreds of cameras that are monitored constantly by half a dozen dispatchers. Several years ago, Michael Rosen helped update the mall's security systems. He now runs a consulting firm in the Twin Cities. He says the mall is limited in what it can do to screen visitors.
Now, I don't think that culturally our community is ready for metal detectors at every single door. Anytime you have an open environment, it creates security challenges. And so Mall of America had to strike that balance of open, accessible environment and yet very effective security measures in place.
A U.S. State Department spokesperson says the video was propaganda from Somalia-based terror group Al-Shabaab. Sadiq Warfa, a community activist, says he and other Twin Cities Somali Americans denounced the video.
We first are Americans, and we live in this great city of Minnesota, and we condemn the strongest possible term, the actions of Al-Shabaab or any terrorist organization.
Minneapolis City Council member Abdi Warsami says he thinks Al-Shabaab aims to isolate Somalis living abroad from the communities they live in.
So this was actually an attack on the Somali-American community more than anything else. They know we frequent Mall of America, and what they want to do is they want to make us feel like that we're targets and feel marginalized and therefore, you know, become sympathetic to their message.
Security consultant Rosen says mall security should not selectively question people based on their race or ethnicity because they might miss the actual source of threats.
Profiling is simply not an effective security method, period. In addition to the fact that it's just not a right thing to do.
Mall officials say they're maintaining strong relationships with all communities, including the Somali community. Peter Cox, Minnesota Public Radio News, Bloomington.
The Minnesota House unanimously passed legislation Monday that's aimed at improving the state's child protection system. The bill is based on the initial recommendations of a task force that DFL Governor Mark Dayton formed last year. It sets new statewide guidelines for handling cases of alleged abuse and reverses a law that prevents investigators from considering past screened-out reports. Republican Representative Ron Kreisha of Little Falls said his bill is a first step.
House File 8, I'll be honest with you, doesn't go far enough, but it's a step in the right direction. It's a continuation of many, many efforts to reach the children and improve our child protection system.
The Senate is poised to vote on the same bill. Lawmakers are expected to consider additional task force recommendations later in the session. House and Senate negotiators will meet this week to try to resolve the legislation that would delay Governor Mark Dayton's pay raises for commissioners until July 1st. The Senate included the delay in the deficiency funding measure it passed earlier this month. The House did the same last week, but based on an agreement with Dayton, they also subtracted some money from 3 departments and shifted the authority for future raises back to the legislature.
DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach said he wants to talk to the governor before accepting the House language.
The other provisions in the bill haven't been through a Senate committee, so I'm reluctant. But if the governor really feels like he wants it, I guess, you know, we're going to try and accommodate that. But, you know, we took a pretty strong vote against an amendment on the floor that's very much like some of the language included in the bill now.
Bach said he has a breakfast scheduled Wednesday with Dayton. It would be their first conversation since their public dust-up over the issue. State lawmakers are revisiting last session's minimum wage increase, which is set to bring Minnesota's hourly rate up to $9.50 in 2016. A Minnesota House committee has approved a bill designed to exempt workers who earn tips from getting a minimum wage increase. The proposal would allow restaurants to keep servers at the current $8 an hour rate if their income with tips exceeds $12 an hour. DFL Representative Jason Isaacson of Little Canada said he was frustrated by both sides' arguments. He called yesterday's two-hour hearing a comedy.
I respect and love both sides, but we're not being clear. We're not being truthful, and this is why people hate politics. It's because we have to have hearings like this on bills that will never go anywhere, but we get to posture to our bases. And that frustrates the crap out of me.
Republican Representative Pat Garofalo of Farmington rejected Isaacson's assessment and stressed that his bill has bipartisan support. But Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach said it's unlikely the Senate will pass the bill. State education officials say Minnesota's four-year high school graduation rate increased for all student groups last year. Tim Post reports.
81% of students got their diplomas on time in 2014, an increase of just over one percentage point from the year before. Black students, Asian students, and Hispanic students increased their four-year rates by 3 to 4 percentage points over last year. Students of color have narrowed the graduation gap with white students in recent years, but big differences remain. For instance, 60% of black students now graduate in 4 years, compared to 86% of white students. The rate for Native American students increased one percentage point over last year. Just over half of Native American students now graduate in 4 years. Minnesota's graduation rate for Native American students has consistently been at the bottom or near the bottom compared to other states in recent years. Tim Post, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.